The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy.
Good morning.
It's happening.
Cold out there, Gil. It's getting cold. Winter has arrived.
Define cold. For those on the East Coast who are freezing already and then look at the forecast 3 weeks out on the horizon and see that it could be like record-breaking cold, define Kelly Bidlin's version of cold to them.
Since you asked it that way, I will give you the Kelly Bidlin definition is anything that, as soon as it drops below 55,
mayhem.
People, you know, it was like the people with joint pain were like, I could feel the rain is coming. My knees started to hurt ahead of time, right? Yeah. Like my bones start to shiver before it even drops below 55. So anything under 55, but once it's like 40 degrees out today. Come on, that's cold.
And now you have no insulation.
Exactly, Gil.
That's right.
JVT and Story walk in here every day. They're like, why is the heat on?
Maybe
so
you should start a Kickstarter or something for, donations and stuff for your plight. This plight of
that's
yours.
That's a good idea, man. I like that.
I used to say in D.C., we didn't know where it was mid-Atlantic and we got snow, but we weren't like Boston, New York savvy with snow. As soon as it got below 40 degrees, like the school superintendent was on the phone. For God's sakes, get those kids out of school.
This is also your Vegas annual reminder to check your air pressure in your tires.
There you go.
Because it gets cold out and it drops all of a sudden. People have a lot of problems.
That's
with
exactly
that.
Right. The readers look like your tire pressure. Yeah, mm-hmm. It goes wacky. Electric cars no longer stop on their own. They fly.
Really?
That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, good start to the show. Coming up, a little bit of something for everybody. Jake Hahn on hockey. We love Jake. Some not so good news on your boy Snuggerud. That's coming up.
Really?
Don't Google it. Just be surprised.
Oh no,
it's not good news. But I just want Drew Dinsick on the NBA and National Football League week number 14. We'll talk Survivor. Here's the issue with doing Survivor segments now this late into the season. There's like two people left in this. Okay, maybe it's a little more than two, but you know what I mean. Like I don't know. Does most of the audience go like, yeah, okay, I'll come back next segment?
Yeah,
I don't know, but it's still fun to talk about NFL power rankings. That was interesting this week, I thought.
Oh, I blew mine up.
Yeah, Jimmy Root, talking college hoops with us. We got we got the old ACC SEC challenge tonight and tomorrow. And when I say the old, I mean I think it's like in its third year. So that's happening. Jeff Erickson for RotoWire, week 14, fantasy and beyond. Tyler Shoemaker on championship week in college football. All that on the show. We'll do some make miss playoffs again in the NFL. That is a never in this topsy turvy year of the NFL. That feels like an entirely new market every week. Also,
it's continuously fascinating.
Yes.
I think we've talked about it two or three times a week for the past 3 weeks. And it's still interesting to me with how much it shifts every week.
It's still interesting, but it also simultaneously makes you feel ridiculous because you're like, this is like, some remain the same, but you're like, why didn't I see this before? Or now this is a thing.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. We'll look at that.
I told Danny before the show, we were going over some of that. I was looking at my power rankings. I'm like, there's three teams I have in my top 10 power rankings that I don't really think are going to make the playoffs. That's where I'm at. That's where the season's at.
Last night, though, there was nothing topsy-turvy about the ballgame last night as week 13 comes to a close. The Patriots crushed the Giants 33-15 in a game that really isn't as close as that score seems. 33-15. Drake May, steady as she goes. All you Drake May people out there, let me just say this to you. He makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he breaks a sweat out there in some of these games. Patriots look as good as ever. The only thing you can say negative about the Patriots, again, is, and it's not their fault for what their schedule is, but you just wonder, okay, this is all great, but as soon as you start playing teams, how's this going to go? But as far as last night's concerned, that was easy peasy. The Giants with Jackson Dart going against doctor's orders here on a numbers game. he played, and let me just tell you, I don't feel like we were wrong based on what we saw out
either,
there.
Man.
3-0 Patriots. The Giants punt, but not before on their first drive, but not before Dark got leveled by Harold Landry on the first drive, where his head just got destroyed. Marcus Jones takes the ensuing kickoff, ensuing punt, pardon me, back 94 yards. I could hear Fezzik screaming at the screen. Why are you fielding that at the six? 94 yards later, touchdown, 10-0. Patriots, 5:17 left first quarter. Then the Giants go three and out, but not before on that drive, on that sequence, I should say, not before Dart is blasted out of bounds by Christian Ellis. And all the Giants come rushing to his defense. It was completely legal
hit. Yep, completely.
Completely legal.
Me and Gil just kept texting each other.
We just kept texting. Yep.
What is he doing? What is going on?
And I'm a Skins fan. I love Jackson Dart. I was like, I really want him to stay healthy. Like, for God's sakes. Come on. New England gets the ball. Five plays, 61 yards. Made a Henry for 36. That set up made a Kayshon Boutte from three outs. 17-0 Patriots with a minute left in the first quarter. You're like, good God, this is going to go on forever. But it didn't there for a minute. Giants, six plays, 62 yards. Dart to Slayton from 30 out, 17-7. And then after a shank punt by Bryce Berringer, Younghae Koo and the Giants got into field goal position for a 47-yard field goal try. And good on Troy Aikman for noticing this immediately, because I didn't notice it in real time what happened. I only saw it after Aikman was like, I don't think I've ever seen this before. And they showed the replay. For those who missed it, Younghae Koo, you can't even say missed the field goal. Because, and he didn't whiff on the ball, he divoted his foot as I do on a standard six iron in the middle of the fairway or in the rough, just taking out grass.
It was.
I never seen anything like that before.
It's funny because I did catch it live, but I couldn't tell exactly what happened. Like, I couldn't tell if he kind of tripped and maybe ran into the holder.
The first thing that came into my head was that a fake? Like, I didn't understand what they were doing.
Well, it was actually a heads-up play by the holder, right? Like,
well, ends up
at least
being,
he tried to get out of
tried
there.
Tried to get out. Ends up being a 13-yard sack when all said and done. So it remains 17-7. Patriots immediately go five plays, 58 yards. Made a Kyle Williams from 33 out, I should say, on 3rd and 9. Outstanding pass by May. Outstanding catch by Williams. 24-7 Patriots. And then the ensuing kickoff, Gunnar Olszewski absolutely gets crunched on the return. Mm-hmm. He fumbles, recovered by Elijah Ponder. That's a field goal, 27-7. One more, three and out for the Giants. We're, by the way, down 20, 4th and 1 at their own 35. They decided to punt, which I was like, okay, I guess. In this day and age, sure, I guess. New England, still from their own 23 with 1:07 left in the half, one timeout. To Hollins for 7, to Douglas for 15, to Ramondre for 36, to Douglas for 9. Yes, they get another field goal, 30-7. It's halftime, it's 30-7. And honestly, there's no real reason to go through the second half. The second half was just background for everybody in America watching this game. Giants did get a touchdown and a two-point conversion. The Patriots would get a field goal late, 33-15. The Patriots win it. Drake May with 16 of 20 for 208 at halftime. And you figure, well, this will be his first 300-yard game. But the way the Patriots were crushing him, they didn't need to throw the ball around the yard anymore. He ends up with 24 of 31 for 282. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. Jackson Dart, 17 of 24 for 139. Four carries for 20 yards. And again, two times just getting blasted out there early in this ball game. Giants headed into a bye, and I will just say this about two things, two campaigns here. One, the Drake May MVP campaign for someone like you who has Stafford.
Yeah, it's fun, Gil.
At a ridiculously good number. That was not a good turn of events this weekend in terms of that market for you.
No, it was not.
We'll see. Still plenty of time to go. And then Jackson Dart, rookie of the year. Like, do the Giants... The Giants can't go 2-15 and him win this, right? Having started 11 of those games or 12 of those games in the end, as it would be. You can't really be rookie of the year. I know records don't typically matter for rookies of the year.
Right.
But if you're the quarterback 12 times of a 2-15 team and you're really not blowing up the stat sheet, should you really be plus 220 at this point? I would think they would go to either Tetero McMillan or Emeka Buka or Tyler Warren at this point.
So the biggest problem is I just think the competition around him, right? Like, I think in other years, sure, you could maybe make the case that he's still quarterback, has played all these games. He still belongs in there, but McMillan, Egbuka and Warren have all been key weapons to their teams. And key weapons for their teams on paths to the playoffs or potentially to the playoffs.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't think that, first of all, Cam Ward is 250-1. They've won one game.
Right.
Jackson Dart has won that team has won two games and he's plus 220. Mm-hmm. I do think that matters at some point. I don't know. Kyle Manungai at 90-1. It's pretty, like, what a season he's had. Travion's 14-1. I just think in the end, it's one of the wide receivers, with apologies to Tyler Warren, of the Colts in that category.
I even think I made a bad bet on Igbuka, man. This has been, they haven't been able to keep up. Obviously the Bucks keep getting hurt here. Thought he was looking good when I bet him at like minus 110. Thought that was looking good, but you know, you got Baker keeps getting hurt. McMillan's been awesome. He's awesome. If the Panthers really make a charge here, it's probably it.
This feels like to me also the bunch of these awards, and let's even extend it to college football. Heisman Trophy, MVP. I feel like these are down years for both of these categories, right? Mm. I think, you know, last year you had Lamar Jackson with all these massive stats, and then you had Josh Allen's great year. I feel like a lot of this stuff, both in pro and college football, I just feel like there's no clear awesome player or two that stand above the fray. And so it's just going to, I think these votes, specifically in the NFL, where there's only 50 people voting it, as opposed to the Heisman, where there's 1,000, literally almost 1,000 people voting on it. I just think it's going to be splintered each way.
We also, as I'm listening to you say this, I think it's also, we've gotten spoiled the past 5-6 years in these awards, right? Yes. MVP Heisman, you have Jaden Daniels doing ridiculous things in college football, right? You have Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson every year. Passing and rushing numbers are insane with what they're putting up. Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, obviously with a Heisman, splinter to splinter, no matter how many people you have voting on it. But when there's 50 people, that final vote could look very comical.
Yes.
In terms of numbers voted for each of these guys. In all of these categories. Coming back, we have some tweets on some awards. Make Miss Playoffs.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game brought to you by the good folks over there at The One. 102.1 The One, Kelly.
Yes, joining us today.
Yes, for the first time ever. We'll mention them from time to time on the show. Appreciate having them on board. By the way, that's the one, the WON, not the ONE on that as well. Should point that out.
In Springfield, Missouri.
And then
going live with us today.
In Springfield, Missouri. We're still calling this the Black Friday special, Kelly, just for purposes, just for, you know, making it the same offer that we've offered before, getting people to understand what the offer is. But the Black Friday special is live. We understand it's still not Black Friday at this point, but it's for just $60. You get full VSiN Pro access to everything we offer all the way through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from VSiN hosting guests. The betting splits are on there from DraftKings, Circa, and Brocco. 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app. Our biggest new subscriber offer of the year is here. Don't wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book.
It's only 26 degrees in Springfield right now. I'm sure they were enjoying me complaining about it being cold out.
My entire timeline is filled with people telling you the temperature now, where it is. Fred Courier in Adams. Where is Adams? 28 degrees and snow. 3JackH3131. Good to know Kelly would have been no help with the 10 inches of snow I cleared on Saturday.
Yep, nope, not at all.
Michael Burns, come to St. Louis, Kelly. The water's warm, 23 on this Tuesday morning. That's Fahrenheit, Kelly.
I'm good. You guys enjoy the snow.
Razorblade, cold in Ohio to me is anything in the teens. ANG is West Coast soft. Cheers, guys. Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Steve the Proxy. If that was a biggie, give me the loot reference using Jim Root. Well played, sir. Did a computer incident in practice officially end the Abdul Carter Rookie of the Year candidacy? Did you see this yesterday?
Yeah.
So there's a parody account that sent this out.
Mm-hmm.
That Abdul Carter was going to miss the first drive last night because he was watching adult entertainment during a practice or during a film session or something like that.
Most egregiously without his headphones on.
And the point being without his headphones on. So everybody figured out what he was doing. And so it was a parody account. So we're all like, that's hilarious, parody account, right? And then Abdul Carter sat out the first drive.
Yeah.
And was it Laura Rutledge? Laura Rutledge asked the coach, asked Kafka, I believe it was Kafka. She said, why'd he miss the first drive? And he goes, coach's decision. So I don't know.
Violation of team rules.
That would be a violation of team rules, probably. LFC title records. That is frowned upon, by the way. LFC title records. Currently frowned upon. Currently 9 degrees here in Minnesota. Feels like -4. Gets to -10 tonight with a wind chill of negative 20. I feel for you, Kelly. That high of 60 tomorrow in Vegas is going to be rough.
It's tough, but I'll get through it.
Scuba Scott, in case you missed Gil's eloquent recap of last night's game, allow me to offer my 6-word condensed version. Giants suck. Patriots are for real. Giants do suck. Again with the Patriots. Just awesome. They're crushing all these teams. But we really do need to see them play. Teams.
Well, wait, yeah, for the playoffs.
Shrek McPhee. Teams can key in on JT now with Danny Dimes' injury. Darnold has been bad for JSN. If San Francisco can win the division, CMC, 14-1 offensive player of the year. By the way, this is so interesting that this morning, randomly, I've gotten a bunch of tweets about certain awards. This one is from... This one started with, I want to get the first one. And Mark Maynard was lobbying for Devon Achane this morning for offensive player of the year. And he would say, hey, Gil, should we be looking at Achane for offensive player of the year? 100-1. He's about 250 total yards from McCaffrey. How many wins does Miami need to finish with for him to be considered? And I pointed out, I was like, you know, if you go through the stats on these two guys, first of all, McCaffrey's candidacy is all based on the combined rushing and receiving stats. He has 800 plus yards each receiving and rushing. There's only been three players in football history that have ever had 1,000-yard rushing, 1,000-yard receiving seasons. It's McCaffrey, it's Marshall Faulk, it's the old 49er Roger Craig. McCaffrey trying to be the first person to do it twice. There's that, but that's historic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's still not about this one season. He does have 13 combined touchdowns as well. He is on pace to set the season receiving yardage mark for running backs, which would break Marshall Faulk's record back to the greatest show on turf. But again, with voters, I don't know how much that means to them in the end, all that stuff. Because CMC is amazing, but I'm not sure if everything I just mentioned is going to be top of mind when they make their vote. Or are they still locked into the Jonathan Taylors of the world? Anyway, I don't think Achane has a chance, quite frankly. I get the numbers 100-1 and it's a sexy bet, but I don't think he stacks up to someone like Jonathan Taylor, who, again, I sort of responded directly by saying, you know, week? I'll give the exact numbers on this for Mark Maynard. Achane just versus a guy like JT specifically. And now, of course, they don't come up on the computer, but
comparing to McCaffrey, it's not, he's saying he's only a couple hundred yards away from total yardage, which is true. You take rushing and receiving with Achane. So I get it. I get the attraction, but I think it's very unlikely.
Taylor, 1,282 yards rushing, Achane 1,034, Taylor 17 touchdowns, Achane 10 touchdowns, Colts 8-4, Dolphins 5-7. I just don't think it's a...
And then there's the other part is we're just comparing the running backs too. JSN's out there.
Yes. Travis Nelson. Morning, Gil. Thanks for the great content. Avid listener and currently in 304th place in millions. Time to lock in. Good luck to you, man. Hope you can get there. Hope you're getting the money, Travis Nelson. And then this is about... this was also a question earlier this morning about the Heisman and specifically from Fire Tomlin into the Sun on Twitter. Don't look now, but Pavia is surging in the Heisman betting market. All three quarterbacks under 2-1 on DraftKings. And you're right on the one hand about Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt. His stats are really good, by the way, when you compare him to the, you know, Fernando Mendoza's of the world. His stats match up really favorably. The only thing is with the Heisman voters, and there's, again, close to 1,000 of these guys and gals, you know what he doesn't have? He doesn't have a signature Heisman moment. He doesn't have the RG3 versus Oklahoma, Johnny Manziel versus Alabama game, and also doesn't play championship week, right? So yeah. I don't know. It's all art more than it is science with that. But I hear you on the candidacy. As far as make-miss playoffs in the NFL, Kelly, let's go to the, by the way, Fernando Mendoza plus 160, Julian Sain of Ohio State plus 170, Diego Pavia plus 190 now. Everybody else starting with Jeremiah Love, 30-1. I should say Jeremiah Love's 30-1, and then everybody else starting with Jeremiah Smith, 200-1. Remember how Jeremiah Smith was hanging around this market most of the season? They were like, hey, I want to make him a thing.
It's not going to happen. All right, so what's the prediction on... over under 4.5 invitees for the ceremony.
Oh, isn't it always a standard number?
No, I thought they mix it up?
Do they?
If it's standard, it's only recently been standardized. I think we've seen three out there before. I think we've seen like six out there.
I think those top four guys are going for sure. Okay. Yeah. Mendoza, San, Pavia, and Love. As far as the make-miss playoffs, NFL. This is pretty interesting because the topsy-turvy world of the NFL this year, I think this is a moving target to some degree. But let's start with the AFC. The AFC is probably simpler. I think the
Finalists get invited now.
Four finalists. So there are your four. Yeah. So I think here are your, you know, you look at the pluses and you look at the minuses. You have to make this work for seven, right? And so I think the three bets on the board, I think two of them are pictured. I think the Chargers miss at +110. I know they're 8-4, but the Chargers have the third hardest remaining schedule. Aggregate opponent win percentage of 625. I think +110 on the miss on the Chargers is interesting. I do think the Chiefs to make at +115 is interesting because they are the Chiefs, right? They do have Patrick Mahomes and the schedule 20th. So again, top 10 or not top 10, but top 13 easiest. There's a bet on that's not on the board though that might be the best of all of them, which is, do you believe the Bengals have a shot to win the AFC North? And if you do, it's +850 to make the playoffs. I'm not sure what their AFC North number is. You'd have to compare the two. That's their only way in. Probably, right?
God, I hope not. I hope that doesn't happen.
9-1 to win the division, so that might be the better bet. You know, as you see it here, but that's the only other bet there in the AFC side that I think I would make. All the others, I think they're kind of properly priced, unless you, again, the Ravens-Steelers thing, let's take the Bengals out of it for a second, even though, of course, they're involved. The only other case you can make is if you feel the Steelers are going to win that division over the Ravens, that's its own category, right? And the Steelers right now to make the playoffs are +260. The Ravens to miss is +190, but again, go to the AFC North market, perhaps for better prices.
Mm-hmm.
So the AFC North is only category. It's its sole standalone category in the AFC, but everything else in terms of make miss, probably the Chargers miss and the Chiefs make are the best, but I don't love either. It's not like the prices are great.
I'm with you. I think the Colts are, I know this turned quick. I think the Colts are in real jeopardy of missing the playoffs too. I think that the Chargers Colts are real shaky there at 5-6.
Colts have the single hardest remaining schedule in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Aggregate win percentage of opponents, 672.
Daniel Jones, I mean, he's not looking right so far. Only 1 week, but...
Yeah, we'll do the NFC on the other side. Jake Hahn joins us to talk hockey. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Blackjack Wednesday at Bracco. Hit the tables and play blackjack. If luck doesn't go your way, you get 50% off your losses back in Bracco cash, up to $500. Use promo code VSIN to grab your bonus and try again with house money. Go to Play Bracco. That's BRACCO. PlayBracco.com today. That's promo code VSIN. Skill Alexander. We get tweet speed in the book. Colin Murphy. Your offensive player of the year long shot, he says, is James Cook at 80-1. If you take a shot on CMC, I'd look to parlay it with Dak comeback. I don't think Dak goes awardless if CMC wins OPOY. Unless he sneaks into the MVP mix.
Ooh, I like that call.
A lot of acronyms there.
I do. I like that call. If you're going to go McCaffrey Offensive Player of the Year, that's correctly said, parlay with Dak to win comeback.
Sam Ginsburg, our buddy from Pittsburgh, PA. It's a Pittsburgh covered with snow, including my house in Squirrel Hill. However, just a half a mile away in the block of Squirrel Hill where Todd lives, I believe it's always 70 and sunny. The great Todd Wishnow. You know who also lives over there in Squirrel Hill? I believe it's Mike Tomlin.
Really?
Yeah, they all live around the same neighborhood right there.
Huh.
Where did I want to go with this?
Surprised I don't hang out.
Here's what. So all these people, so you were complaining about the weather here, and everybody throwing in their temperatures and in cold areas here. Jake Hahn joins us now to talk NHL from Toronto, Canada, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4. That's J-H-A-H-N-4, the number 4, on Twitter, co-host on the Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL, also co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast at NHL Fantasy. Jake, good morning. What is the, now watch this, Kelly. What is the temperature in Toronto? You'll see where I'm going with this.
Well, home of the famous Celsius meter here in Toronto, yes. Guys. It's minus two. It's a very balmy minus two today. So we're feeling nice. We're feeling warm. It is hockey weather up here in Toronto. And it looks like it's going to be this way for the foreseeable future, guys, which is bad news for me walking around downtown Toronto when it gets a little windy. I got to deal with that wind chill. Great news for the outdoor rinks, though. I love a good outdoor rink. So that means the ice will be real good this year before Christmas time. I'm looking forward to that.
This is a Deborah Song fashion stylist has lived in this country. My girlfriend for 20 plus years, the only language barrier we have, American to Canadian, is she still, after all these years, has no idea about Fahrenheit, and I have no idea about Celsius.
Whenever
a temperature conversation comes up, there is a massive language barrier. Can we not agree on this, Jake, ever, these two countries?
I appreciate that you're both digging your heels in. She's not budging, and she's saying, no, I'm sticking with my Celsius. I respect that as a fellow Torontonian and Canadian. And you're digging your heels in as well, Gil. You're saying, I'm not coming over to the Celsius side of the ledger. So you got to keep me updated on this. If anybody budges, if we get any movement on that between you and her over the years here coming up.
We're going to broker a deal. We're going to go Kelvin.
Torontonio. That's a tough word.
By the way, Celsius to Fahrenheit, yeah. Kelly. Fahrenheit minus 32 times 5/9. Flip it around the other way. Fahrenheit to Celsius. Celsius times 9/5 plus 32. There you go. Formula
27 degrees.
Okay, let's start this by breaking the news to Kelly on your boy Snuggerud. What do you got?
He didn't let me Google it.
He's out. He's out for a while, Kelly. It looks like there's going to be no Snuggerud for quite some time here in the National Hockey League. And honestly, it wasn't happening for the Blues this year at all. Now, Snuggerud had a couple games here and there and kind of learning the league as a young player, but sounds like he's going to be out long term. And St. Louis is not a team I've been looking to back this year whatsoever, even in the prop market. So we liked our guy Snuggerud. Next year's the Snuggerud year. He gets his feet wet this year. Blues need to bounce back. They need to retool going into next year. So unfortunately, I will not be giving out any Snuggerud props for the foreseeable future.
Comeback player of the year next year? The DeMar Hamlin trophy? He's live?
Yes.
For?
Hey, can we talk
there
about...
There you go.
Can That's, we do, yeah. do these books still have up December most points? Is still up at DraftKings?
No, I don't know.
Did you analyze the December market, Jake, at all? For those who like
we
the
could
monthlies?
Pull it up. We could pull it up. We could look at it together. And look, the December schedule could be a little bit tricky. They don't take that big of a break, though, for Christmas. It's just a few days. It's Christmas Eve, Christmas, and then Boxing Day. So we still play a lot of games throughout December, even with the holiday season. And they play right through New Year. And I believe the Winter Classic is actually January 2nd this year, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a little later than it usually is. But yeah, still tons of hockey to play in the month of December.
All right.
Most wins is down. Most wins down. There are total points for each team posted over unders.
All right, so we got over unders in December. Okay, well, we'll table that for a second. I just want to say again what I brought up last week, where again it's conventional wisdom in hockey to say, hey, by Thanksgiving we pretty much know which teams are in the playoffs. That comment manifests 75% of the time. Usually, 6 of the 8 teams on average can be determined who eventually end up in the postseason. At Thanksgiving, we amended it because of this Eastern Conference pancake thing that's happening to, okay, we got to know by December. Well, we're in December now, Jake. It's still, this is incredible. Am I seeing this right? There is a 9-point difference between the top of the East and the bottom of the East. Tampa Bay to Toronto. Sorry, Toronto, at the bottom. We can't determine anything at this point, can we?
The East, I've never seen anything like this, Gil, where you're at the bottom of the East. You mentioned Toronto, Buffalo's down there as well in a familiar spot, unfortunately, for the Sabres over the last decade, it feels like. But even they're a couple wins away from saying, hey, we're right in this thing. And, you know, we're not only right in this thing, but we jump maybe to the top 3 spot in our division. That's how tight things are. I was waiting for somebody to step up. Now, Carolina's consistent every year. And when you look at the odds there, you're going to see them as the favorite in the Eastern Conference. But right below them, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they've been the team that has made the move. And they were the team I thought capable of making that move. Every time I talked Lightning in the month of October, I thought they're the team that could rhyme off 6, 7, heck, maybe 8 wins in a row. Sure enough, they've won 7 in a row, and they've done it with some very key injuries to their roster. It's actually been really impressive what Tampa's been able to do. So they've made their move. They've said, no, we're a legit team. Everybody else is kind of just meeting in the middle, and we'll see if anybody else can step up here in the Eastern Conference.
All right, you got a bunch of plays today, both sides and some props. Let's start with the Bruins and the Red Wings. Bruins pending a player availability report here.
Yeah. I just want to make sure Swayman is playing between the pipes here. And if he is, I like the Bruins money line, a pretty big underdog in this game as well, about plus 160, plus 165 in that range. These two teams just played over the weekend. Boston won that game. I just think Swayman is by far the best goaltender that either of these teams can throw out there. So assuming it's not him over Jonas Korpisalo, I will be on the Bruins. Maybe you'll see a bit of line movement if Swayman gets confirmed, but I'd still take the Bruins.
Wild are at the Oilers tonight. Oilers are about a minus 150 favorite. Which way are you going on this one?
Another underdog here on the road, guys. I just think this is a price play for me. Edmonton's maybe slowly starting to figure it out. They tend to start every season like this, a little bit of an early season malaise. And I think they're kind of figuring it out, but still not enough for me to back them at that kind of number. And Minnesota's as hot as any team in the National Hockey League right now. Jesper Wallstedt will get the call between the pipes. Great young goaltender having an awesome season. He's throwing his hat in the ring in a very crowded Calder Trophy race for Rookie of the Year. And he's going tonight for Minnesota. So I like the Wild at that price. I just think they're in way better form than this Edmonton team.
Washington's on the West Coast, taking on the LA Kings. A total here in this one?
So speaking of teams, Gil, that have figured it out in the East, we talked about Tampa 7 in a row. Washington is slowly figuring out as well. They've won, I believe it's 6 of their last 7 is the number for Washington. They're starting to play well. They head out onto the road. I think this is going to be a tight game. LA's playing a little bit better as well. And the Kings like to lock it down on home ice. They like to play these 2-1, 3-1 kind of hockey games. I think Washington, first game over in California, they're going to be okay trying to grind out a greasy road win, maybe get this thing to overtime, make sure they secure a point. So I'd play this up to under 6. You have to lay a little bit of juice with that number to protect yourself just in case we get a 4-2 game here with the push. But I like this game to be a little tighter checking game out west in California tonight.
All right. Wouldn't be a Jay Khan segment without a bunch of props. What are you looking at?
That's right. I got a few for you guys tonight. Now there's a lot of moving parts, unfortunately, because we do have some questionable players, some illnesses going around. I guess it's that time of the year. One that I know for sure, Joe Wall over saves, whatever the number is going to be. We don't have a number yet because he hasn't technically been confirmed the starter. If it's not Joe Wall, I'd take whatever Toronto goaltender is starting because I think they're going to give up a lot of shots to the Florida Panthers tonight. And if it's Joe Wall, I especially like it because he's been up to the task lately. So whatever the number is, Joe Wall over on saves. Brandon Hagel over 2.5 shots. He's just been firing. He's been scoring at will for the red hot Tampa Bay Lightning team. I like him to continue that tonight. And Brady Tkachuk, who just came back in the lineup, he's going to factor in quite large for the U.S. Olympic team. It was nice for them to get some pieces back. Austin Matthews came back last week as well. Slow start for him points-wise, only 1 point through his first two games. I think in Montreal tonight is a good spot for him to maybe get something going. So I like Brady Tkachuk to pick up a point. Darren Radish in that Tampa game that I mentioned as well. He's been on a great streak from the back end for the Lightning. He did miss practice yesterday due to personal reasons, so there's a chance that he doesn't play tonight, but I like him to pick up a point. And Mikko Rantanen over 2.5 shots at, I believe it's plus 125 is the number, on the road in New York for the Dallas Stars. I like him to fire a few shots at net tonight.
And then what's the deal with the Avs? You want to play the Avs, but there's an illness going through the team. What's that about?
Yeah, it's one of these things that happens sometimes, right, where it runs through the room and you get a bunch of guys miss practice, including Nathan MacKinnon, who's their best player, and Gabe Landeskog, who all of a sudden has been heating up. He's been given a great line assignment. He's been put on the first power play unit, and those were two guys I was targeting for props. MacKinnon shots, Landeskog shots, maybe a Landeskog point, Avs -1.5. So keep those off to the side, guys. Check the lineup, and if those guys are confirmed in, maybe fire those up.
All right. Is it too soon to talk Olympics next time? Do we need to know more? Or can we have that discussion? All right.
No, I got my rosters ready to go. We can break it down. I'm happy to do it.
All right. Let's do that next week. Jake Hahn, everybody. Jake, thank you so much. Whatever the temperature is in Celsius.
Stay warm, guys. So always great talking to you.
You too. Kelly's sitting trauma here with me.
Freezing.
50 degrees. He's going to
turn up the heat.
Give him a blankie pretty soon. Coming back with Drew Dinsick. Yeah, boy.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Kelly Bidley, I mentioned this earlier, but I want to shout out 102 The One in Springfield, Missouri. This week, Missouri became the 39th state to go live with legal sports betting. So it is appropriate that VSiN welcomes one of our newest affiliates. Again, 102.1 The One. That's the WON in Springfield, Missouri, KOSP-FM. Owned by Midwest Family Broadcasting. Thanks for hopping aboard with us.
Yeah. Welcome aboard.
Let's go, Mizzou.
Stay warm out there, Springfield.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's cold. It's chilly.
Speaking of which. We get tweets beating the book. Jason H11 just showed a gave us a picture of his street out there with snow covered. He goes, current situation at work. How do I say this politely? Bite me, Kelly, he says. Michael Burns, curious, does Mike Tomlin have a cork attic as well since he's in Squirrel Hill as Toddy? I'm going to say coach does not have a cork attic, probably a proper attic is my guess. And then Del Mind the Gap Radio, as I suggested, a numbers game for 3 hours. He was the guy. He was the guy that made it happen. He said, I have one more network request, a 1 hour Crackman solo. Rants and stories would be fantastic. Note, I'm top 20 in Joe's versus Pros. Good for you. Joe's versus Pros, top 20. Do you get an hour of crack where he has to hit all the posts and the promos and do all that stuff too?
I've been saying for years,
yeah.
Zach and Crack. Gil and I are just going to take a day off.
Day off.
Zach and Crack for 3 hours. Maybe we'll do guest hits.
Yeah. Or maybe not.
Or maybe not.
Maybe we'll just go do our thing. Yeah. We talked about the AFC make-miss playoffs real quick before we get to Survivor. NFC playoff make-miss. This is a little more interesting, I think, than the AFC side. I don't know if you know this, Kelly Bidlin.
Well, it's hilarious right off the top.
The Bears are your number one seed right now, right? At 9-3. So here's, to me, again, apologies to the Bears, but the miss at plus 250 is not a terrible bet. I know you're like, what are you talking about? They're the number one seed. Yeah, okay, but you also have the fifth most difficult schedule left in the NFL, 590. By the way, when I say fifth most difficult, in other words, Chicago has two against the Packers, one against the Niners, one against the Lions, and a game against Cleveland.
Yeah, good luck.
I mean, you know.
I'm not saying you're necessarily going to miss it, but
Do you have to lose all of those to miss? I don't think so. I think if you went 1-4, you still could miss.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I mean, plus 250 to miss, not the worst bet in the world. I will say this, though, going down further on this list, below the dotted line, so right now on the outside looking in, the Lions to make at plus 115 and the Lions to make at plus 115, but really the Cowboys to make at plus 300.
Lions, I don't think... that's one where we haven't brought this up before, Gil. We're far enough into the season, though. Lions, you should just bet game by game.
Yeah, Lions and Chiefs, same category. The number's not good enough to play. The Cowboys, again, the Cowboys' path is probably through the division title. So, again, like what we talked about with the AFC, in the AFC North specifically, you might be better off playing the division than to make the playoffs number.
I would at least sprinkle it.
Yeah.
Right. It's still I think there's still 7-8 to ones out there on the Cowboys to win the division. I would still sprinkle
that. I would still do that. Yeah. Well, we're showing plus 650. I got it at 10-1 during the Eagles game on Friday, but I do think that's the better bet. Cowboys have a easy remaining schedule. Third easiest.
Yep.
393 aggregate win percentage. Dallas plays besides the Lions this week.
Which is huge.
This is there. This game tomorrow night is massive for both of these teams. It's not a complete elimination game.
Pretty much.
But it feels like a de facto elimination game to some extent. Right? To some extent. I mean, if the Lions lose, they're 7-6. Are they out of it? No, they're not out of it. But this would be a major setback for either team. I will say this, though. This is the hardest remaining game on the Cowboys schedule. Mm-hmm. So besides this, Thursday night at Detroit, they've got the Chargers, the Giants, the Skins, and the Vikings. Don't mess with the Skins. But you know what I'm saying. It's a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. So that's pretty intriguing from a betting possibility. And I never would have said anything about the Cowboys before this week. That's what makes these very fluid situations in a year like this.
They look like one of the best teams in the NFL right now. They've had a top five offense for a while. And guess what? When you have a top five unit offensively or defensively, if the other side can just be about average, then you become a good football team.
They honestly almost made my top 10 power ranking.
They made my top 10.
Yeah.
They're in mine. I think that's two games this week. We almost didn't make enough of this yesterday. I mean, this game Thursday, like you said, basically an elimination game between two very good football teams, in my opinion. And then
8-4 in the AFC South, Colts and Jaguars.
Chiefs and Texans.
And 6-6 in the AFC North, Ravens and Steelers.
It's a great week
of NFL football. Huge implications.
The other one.
And then there's all the other games that kind of stink.
You're right, yeah. The other one I'll throw out on here, Gil. Like, Eagles 9-1 to miss the playoffs, I think, is live.
Eagles remaining schedule. Problem is fourth easiest, right behind the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. The Eagles to miss. I mean, your schedule is the Bills and the Chargers, but then you got the Raiders. I don't know. Maybe not, because you got the Raiders and the Skins twice. Excuse me, the Commanders twice. And if Jaden's coming back, that doesn't feel as easy anymore.
Also, I got to bring up Danny's line. The classic Cowboys situation would be win this week, win the next couple weeks, and then lose to the Commanders and Giants the final 2 weeks of the season.
Wouldn't be the craziest thing. Yeah,
that would be classic Cowboys.
All right. For those who are still alive, Survivor Week 14. Let's do it.
Hello. You play to win the game.
It's time for your weekly Survivor preview with Gil and Kelly.
I'm
a survivor.
I'm just here for the Destiny's Child picture. That's all I'm here for. All right, week 14 Survivor considerations. There's a bunch of them. I want to shout out K Florenz1 for some of the stats in terms of the Circus Survivor remaining stats. 45 entries left after the absolute massacre that was Thanksgiving and Black Friday in Circus Survivor. Obviously, Grandissimo, as we mentioned yesterday, Dunzo, 6 split at the end. Congratulations to all of them. Each of those entries, 1.15 milli in their pockets.
Whew.
$6.9 million contest, $100,000 entry. This, of course, is your standard $1,000 entry fee. 18,718 entries to begin with. We're down to 45. It's the highest percentage now. This year, through quote-unquote week 13, it's really 14 of the 20. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. It's the highest percentage ever knocked down because of what happened Thursday, Friday. So here are the considerations this week, Kelly. The Browns are a consideration. I know it's only a 3.5-point favorite, but they are 3.5-point favorites at home against Tennessee. I would not play them. Everybody has them available. All 45 entries have them available. But are you really going to donk off and lose on the Browns? You really going to do that?
No. I can't believe you put it on this list.
I just threw it on just for giggles. For giggles. Here's another one that I would not play beyond the Browns, and that is, you know, a higher spread. The Buffalo Bills are 5.5-point favorites versus Cincinnati. You do have an at Cleveland game later, but this is Joe Burrow. We just saw Joe Burrow beat the Ravens. I wouldn't mess with this, despite the fact that only 7 of those remaining entries have the Bills available to them. I wouldn't mess with it.
Yeah, the only one I'll bring up is if you thought the Pittsburgh Steelers run defense looks bad, Bengals, well, welcome in.
Yeah. So I wouldn't play that either. One more I would not play is the Rams. The Rams are 8-point favorites at Arizona. You do have an at Atlanta game later on. Only 8 remaining entries out of the 45 have the Rams available to them. But I just think you save the Rams at this point because I think they're better options.
Mm-hmm.
And Arizona kind of scares me.
And they're one of those teams. I mean, yeah. if you think they're the best team in the league, like I do, like you could, in theory, you could use them any week, right? In theory, they're going to be favored every week.
Okay. Here's who I absolutely would consider playing.
Yeah.
Buccaneers are 8.5-point favorites against the Saints. I know there's 38 of the remaining 45 that have the Bucs available to them. So it, you know, you might not be on a plus EV island with the Bucs, but there's no other place to play them as good as this. So I think the Buccaneers versus New Orleans, that's a definite consideration. I think beyond the Buccaneers, there's 4 others. The Broncos are 7.5-point favorites at the Raiders. There is not a better place to play the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do play on Christmas, but is that Kansas City? I doubt you're saving them for that. And only 3 of the remaining 45 have the Broncos. So if I have the Broncos available, I'm absolutely playing them. I think you will see Broncos 3 on the Circus Survivor pick list when all is said and done this week. Seahawks, 7.5-point favorites at Atlanta. Only 4 entries have the Seahawks available to them of the remaining 45. You know, if you don't have the one in the previous example that we just talked about, the Broncos, I'd probably play the Seahawks here. Not really a better spot to play them later. Ravens, 5.5-point favorites hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's only 5 of you, 5 of the remaining 45 that have the Ravens available to them. It's kind of scary, but this is your last spot to play them. You don't like that one, do you? I can tell.
But you're right. It's the best time to play them.
I don't think they're the best choice, but they're a choice.
Yeah.
And then the Packers are 6.5-point favorites versus the Chicago Bears. Only 3 of the remaining 45 entries have the Packers available to them. So I think if you are one of those 3, you have to consider it. But it really does, for me, it comes down more to the who else has this team available to them. If it's me and only a couple other entries, I think you gravitate towards that, with the Broncos being the best choice of all of them. Circus Survivor, Drew Dinsick on the other side, right here in a numbers game.